Hi, everybody. I'm Bruce. A couple of months ago, the announcement was made in our meeting that they needed a leader for November. And as a rule, I don't come to the speaker meetings on the first Thursday of each month. But, you know, something said, Bruce, sign up. And so I signed up. And imagine my surprise when I find out who our speaker is tonight. I'd like to thank Larry for asking me if I would introduce our speaker tonight, and I'm very flattered that he asked me. Service is a huge part of my program, and I constantly search out people that do a lot of service, and I think it's really amazing as I look around this room, and there's so many people here that I've been on committees and things with and really enjoyed getting out of my head by trying to get into yours. Our speaker this evening, I have had the opportunity to work on a very specific program with her for 3 years now, and we plan a spiritual gathering together, and it's a rather large group, and lots of dynamics come out of the group. And what's really amazing about our speaker tonight is like what I'm looking for, and that is someone who's waiting for the question. Waiting for the question. Somebody who thinks before they raise their hand to volunteer, and I really admire those qualities. And I'm just so happy tonight to say that from my home group in Woodland Hills, I would like to introduce somebody who's a really close sister of mine in this program, April.
Hi, my name's April. You guys are huge. Thanks, Larry, for inviting me to speak. Tonight is very, very special. Not only because you guys are my family, even though I don't know any of you personally just yet, and some of you I do, but my mom's here, and she is, she's untreated Al-Anon, but she's here because there's hope. So let me start from who I am before Al-Anon. And I am a daughter, a sister, a sibling, ex-girlfriend, ex-fiance, ex-wife-to-be of an alcoholic drug addict. I think dysfunction started before I was born, when the alcoholic was pouring gasoline on my mom's head while pregnant with me. And so I grew up seeing abuse on a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level. Seeing all that, for some reason, I still wanted to grow up and have a family. So I guess at some point at birth, God was truly watching over me. And I can only see the string of miracles as I look back now that I'm in the program. At the age of tender age, my dad used to beat up my mom and drag her, from the third floor down. I remember at one point, thank you, Larry. I remember at one point where my dad was beating on my mom, and I went into the bathroom and knelt down by the toilet and was praying. And as I hear her crying and screaming, there was a voice, a very still voice in me that told me that everything was going to be okay one day. And that day didn't come till I was in my 30s. But I trusted that voice. I trusted that voice while my mom stayed with him for 11 years. At the age of 10, we went on a run in the Philippines, and with five kids, we went into hiding while my dad was out of the country. When I say hiding, I mean hiding. Our pictures were shown on TV, printed on the newspaper saying we were missing. But nobody turned us in. For some reason, we were protected. And that went on for about a year until our petition to come here got processed. And so at 10, my mom took five kids, two suitcases, and left our whole life behind. I left my childhood, our country, all our friends and family, and came here for a fresh start. So my mom had to learn how to be a mom and a dad at the same time. For a woman who's never worked while being married, you know, that was a tough call. We were on welfare. We had to stay with my grandparents. And for a new start, it was pretty rough. My sister got molested at the age of 8. And so we moved out. And dysfunction ran in both sides of the family. That same sister got pregnant at 13. And had a baby, and that baby died. 6 months after, maybe almost a year, she got pregnant again and had the baby at 15. And 6 months after that, she was on crack. My brother at 17 got killed. He was also using alcohol and drugs. So you can only imagine what my mom was going through. Needless to say, out of 5 kids, I'm the oldest. The one who passed away at 17 was the next one. The one on crack was the middle child. And the 4th kid tampered with alcohol and pot, and she was in the Navy by the time she was 18 and was pregnant 6 months later. And the last child, who I am so proud of, also abused alcohol and drugs, in and out of juvie after everything that's happened to us, but is now a proud dad, although not in program. I'd like to think that what this program does is, you know, you kind of lead by example in how we live. So I'd like to think that's kind of rubbing off on him. So I grew up like this, attracting all the wonderful alcoholics. My daughter now says to me that I could spot him at a really young age. And I'm like, ooh, he's really cute, that little one. She looks at me, she goes, you know he's going to be a bad boy, right? But, you know, I came to Al-Anon while my ex-husband was still active. And he, too, was, you know, he grew up around alcohol and drug use. And that was a normal thing for us. Where he harvested pot, I was, you know, having liquor in a Coca-Cola bottle. So it was like a perfect match. At 17, it was love at first sight. When we got together, you know, drama fueled the love, and it was like the unforbidden love. You just had to conquer it, you know, and it was true love. When I came into the program the first time, I went to the Reseda meeting, and all I heard were women complaining. All I needed to hear was how to fix this man. I didn't hear it, so I left. When I did come back, it was because my ex-husband was already sober, and I had nothing to do or fix or control because he was sticking on his side of the street. And a mutual friend of ours actually got blunt and said to me, you know, why don't you let go of his penis and go to your own meeting and go into Al-Anon? That same night, I went to a Wednesday night meeting at DeMet's and stayed. And the miracle happened really quickly because I heard my story, and I was kind of timid and shy, you know, because I didn't know what to expect. I've always loved God, and I've always believed in being of service, and my only question all my life was, help me to be of service, you know. But when you're in the midst of darkness and all the storm that you grow up with, you don't see that miracles are happening all around us. You can't see it because you're too busy trying to fix, control, take care of everybody else but me. My siblings' problems was my problem, you know. My mom's problem was my problem. All my friends' problems was my problem. So it was like I needed to be busy so I couldn't take care of me. And so being married to an alcoholic drug addict, as long as he was okay, I was okay. And if he wasn't okay, I had things to do. Having 2 kids, I hid all the ugly parts. If he was drunk, high, whatever, I made sure that none of the kids knew about it. They never found me crying. They never found me stressed. I would go into my walk-in closet and cry. And if that didn't work, I would drive my car across the street, park it, stare at my house, and cry there. Then come back as if nothing happened. You know, it's hard to see somebody you love spin. whether it's your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, you know, sibling, it's the kind of pain that you wish you could take and just experience it for them. And I don't know, for some reason God spared me and I never thought I had to use to experience that kind of pain. And for a long time, my friends used to say, I don't know what's wrong with your siblings or your family. 10 years later, she finally looked at me and goes, there's nothing wrong with them, there's something wrong with you. Because out of 5 kids, you know, 4 of them were funny, but I stuck to my own beat. 3.5 years ago, going into the program, like I said, my husband was sober, and I grew into spirituality more so. I learned how to take care of myself here. I learned how to be of service. I learned how to trust men and women that I didn't know. I learned how to have faith in something I can't see. And my ex-husband being in the program as well, you know, I saw miracles happen in his life and mine. But the big difference is, in these rooms we are given tools, and they only work if we use them and apply them. And what happened is, I believe that a physical sobriety occurred in my husband's life, but not a spiritual sobriety. But that's not my problem. What I had to stay by was my own program on my side of the street, because I had 2 kids and I didn't have an option. In these rooms, I brought my kids in to the babysitting area. Those kids are so advanced, I think, because of what they teach us in this room. They don't have to know what the disease is. They just know that they're affected by it somehow. And when they go into this room, they know they feel better. And mommy's better. And daddy's better. And I heard somebody's story that was similar to mine. And she was still married with kids. And that's how I picked my sponsor. They tell you to listen for your own story. I did. My sponsor's still married, although I'm going through a divorce today. My kids are now going on 12 and 8, no, going on 9. And they've been in the program 3.5 years as well. The funny thing about this program is, you know, you always wanna get better. You're just not tied to the outcome. In Al-Anon, I learned to not worry about my past, not worry about my future, and just today I'm learning how to not think too much about what's going on right now. I'm not sure if you guys heard of the Catalina that we do during ending of April, beginning of May. We do it every year. Miracles happen there. There's over like 150 people, and the first time I went, I thought people were crazy because they greet you in these hula outfits. But that's where I first saw Bruce in total service. But, you know, it's they take you out of your comfort zone, and they make you feel weird at first. And then they help you embrace yourself and then them. But it's funny, but, you know, I get to stay quiet and listen to what you guys have to share with your story. And one of the things I learned there was how to let go and just trust that my kids were going to be okay with the alcoholic at home while I'm away for 3 days. And letting go of control. And the stuff that we go through, being affected by alcohol, you go through things you never thought you would. You learn to forgive people for things you never thought you would. The term unconditional love gets really redefined as far as any relationship in my life. When I say tonight was very special, I want to elaborate a little bit on that. I think back in 07, I used to think that women in my family were weak because they gave up their power to the men in their lives. Until I realized during meditation and prayer that this whole tribe was behind me and I was in the forefront. And the ones behind me were all the women in my past on both sides of the family. And those women survived all the abuse that they had gone through, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, so that they could live and my life could be born. That's not weakness. That's power and strength. And because of that, I have two children, one boy, one girl, who's going to learn the tools from this room. And they get to stop what's been happening for generations. And it's, how can I tell you? I can't even see what those kids will do in the future, but it's so powerful because of what these rooms give to me. Like I said, there's no plans to how the program works. I just know it works. I didn't think that I was going to get divorced. I was married for 12 years to my first love. When I stopped worrying about his program, I started working mine. And when I mean working mine, I meant I started to ask certain questions about why do I feel responsible for his wellness? And at some point, I had to give that up and just say I let him go and put him in God's hands. And the night that I did that, my whole life changed. And in the process of asking the right questions, 3 months later, I realized and looked at him and said, I want to thank you for teaching me something. And he says, what? I said, you taught me that I'm just as important as you. And that's the one thing I did not realize, that my life was just as important as the alcoholic. I don't think my mom felt that way too, being married to my dad. At some points we get locked in that they were more important and we needed to save them. The love I had for my husband, I realized, was not rooted in love anymore, but based on fear. When I came home one day and found his truck, and it was the day I decided I was going to get a divorce. And I came in to the house looking for him, calling out his name, and he didn't respond. My first thought was our friend had told him I was going to leave him. He probably killed himself. So I searched the whole house, went through the backyard, to the garage, and found no one and heard no one. After my heart was thumping crazy, I found him on the couch, sleeping. And that's when it dawned on me, this is not love, not the healthy kind. That's when I woke him up and I said, we need to talk. And I had the kids go upstairs and spend some time on, you know, in their rooms. And I had told him that I think our journey as husband and wife is over. And he, you know, was in a daze and wondering, what are you talking about? You know, most of the times people want to split up and you want to get separated. I was done, you know. I went through trying to see this man kill himself through alcohol, through drugs, just finding that his life is not worth living. I couldn't do it anymore. And so when I told him that I wanted a divorce, he says, why a divorce, not why so final? And I finally said, because God is calling us for something greater. I believe that if you're in this room. Because our healing doesn't start just with us. I mean, we take it, and as you see, it grows, and we reach out to other people. And that's how I know that being of service is one of the most important things in my life. You know, Bruce is one miracle that's walking right now. I mean, you know, as I told my mom, this man's life was spared for a reason. And I get to share that with you guys every day. I don't know if my husband believed that this miracle was happening and that this greater good was happening in our lives and sparing four lives, mine, his, and our two kids. The life I had with them was half-ass. Okay, when I mean half-ass, I mean you seem happy. You know, we had the house, my dream house, the cars, the money, the false security, which I thought I had. We had our own business. And I was willing to let all that go to have the kind of freedom that God was willing to give me. The dream life I have was great. But this feeling that of life that God was making for me was unimaginable and breathtaking. I got to see a glimpse of that when I go to the rooms. I get a glimpse of that when I go to Catalina. I get a glimpse of that when I start to see a new woman in the mirror. And the funny thing is, if you saw pictures of me from last year, this is not what you see. The people who know me from the program know that I look different, I feel different. There's no explaining what happens to me when I start taking care of me first. I learned that the order in how it works in my life is God comes first, I come second, my kids comes next, and all else shall follow and fall into place. Nothing works accordingly when I try to control it. Not a damn thing works when I try to control it. I could play tricks in my head, this is where it all lands. But it's weird, you know? In the process of getting divorced, which I never thought I would, 12 years out of, you know, a good marriage, I saw my ex-husband spin sober. And that was a different trip. Seeing somebody in program spin without alcohol or drug in them, that was harder than seeing somebody you love spin with it on. And I, at some point I was like, I wish he would hit something. At least there's an excuse for it. But I had to trust that my God was big enough that he was still watching over him. And I had to trust that miracle that pulled me to make that decision. I worried about how my kids would turn out. Then I thought about how I grew up. And how through all that crap, I still managed to be here today and share this with you. My sponsor and my grand sponsor tells me that we're only as sick as our secrets. You know, the stuff I've shared with you tonight, those are the things I was so ashamed of sharing, especially in front of my mom. I told her on the way here, Mom, I don't know what I'm going to be saying, but I'm only praying that God would help me say the right words to reach out to somebody. There may be things that I say that would offend you, hurt you, but I'm only being of service, and I don't get to say no to what God wants me to do. I left my husband March 27th, and I'd like to say that, God, I feel like I haven't done anything, but when I look back, in these 6 months, I managed to move out on my own without any financial support from him. Gave up my $500,000 house, security of two income, and taking my kids away from what they called home from birth. Huge risk. It's all worth it. Because I got me. And seeing my mom beat up at a young age, she's still recovering. You know? She asked me, how do you know when your angels are around you, when God's talking to you? I just know. You feel it. You hear it. Here. I want my mom to feel that. I want the newcomers to feel that. I said, that's abuse stops with me. And every person I talk to today, because I know who I am, man or woman, I say, when you start to hang around me, I may be weird, but your life starts to change. That's a promise. Because God doesn't do small miracles. He does huge miracles. I'm one of them. So So I think my alcoholic husband hates me today, but, you know, that's okay. He still loves me underneath that. I always tell people there's only two kinds of energy in this world, fear or love. And I always come from love. I don't care how scared I am, I still take that stand. I think choosing to give everything up, which I thought was my dream life, stands for love, as scared as I was. My mom left the country with two suitcases and five kids, not knowing a damn thing about how to raise us. I took that leap with two kids, left the house, took the old couch, the old TV, the old fridge, and said, if I could buy two houses, I could do it all over again. And I could do it on my own two feet. Today I have the support of this program. Over 150 people that know me and love me without knowing who I am personally. Back in May in Catalina, the last trip we were on, my ex-husband, who I didn't know was stalking me, was causing a lot of harm. And in Catalina, where we were, there was no reception. So all I kept getting were these voicemails that I couldn't call out. The world was spinning as I know it back home. And for some reason, my life was still in Catalina. I was given the task of creating a labyrinth. I didn't know how to make a labyrinth. Up on a spiritual walk. I was freaking out. 150 people are supposed to come up there and see this thing. I didn't know what I was doing. All I said was, guide my hands. People were told to bring one rock each, or two, up that hill. For some reason, two people brought backpacks full of it, and others helped to unload it. The voice whispered to me, just pick up one rock, lay it down, just do the next right thing. I don't know what I was doing. I asked two sisters to come up and check out what I was doing. They, you know, moved things around. And Kim and Anthony were there and saw this labyrinth was heart-shaped with a question mark in the middle. I was standing in that middle and I just broke down. The answer to all my questions was me. I was missing in my life. And she's just starting to show up, you know? At 38 years of age, I'd like to think that the miracle that occurred just in the 3.5 years that I've been in the program has been so huge that I just hope that my energy, you know, is explanation enough for people to be able to come forward and have me be approachable and share that space with me. And so this tonight was not an accident, you know. Like Bruce was saying, when Larry asked me to speak, he asked me to speak the night I spoke at our home meeting, and I was a 10-minute speaker. And when I finally got back to him, he's like, well, I have to check. And then when he says, yes, you're on, then I find out Bruce was leading. No accident. I sat here, stomach twirling. My mom's hungry, blood sugar's low. I'm like, gotta go to Panda, feed you. Come on, Mom, I told you to eat first. she's probably more nervous than I am. I'm like, I'm not drinking, I'm not eating. But it's like, I gotta trust that everything happens for a reason. So today, I'm back working at a place where I've been working at for 15 years. Took a break from that in 06 when my ex-husband's needed a pacemaker at 34 years of age. And I gave up my job because I had to be home taking care of him. That's what Al-Anons do. And You know, today he still has that pacemaker, and he's on Coumadin at the age of 39. I love the man. I worry about him, but I know God has him in his hand. If I go into fear mode, I could say my ex-husband's going to die young. It may not happen. If I go into fear mode, I could say that my sister in the Philippines, who was on crack for 10 years, is probably still on drugs. Or that my younger brother might slip. But today, I can't go through that. There's so much energy put into the negative thinking. And when I spin, I spin. I think some of you have been there, right? So I'll start thinking and just spiral down. You don't need anybody's help. I mean, you'd ask, what do you think? And then it just feeds you more. It's like, call the psychic hotline. But you know what? Today I get to trust that if I'm still here, something's working. So when somebody said, you're going to speak at a stag meeting full of men, I'm just like, what? Larry's like, there's about 100 people. Anthony's like, 200. I'm like, stop, pretend it's 30. And most of my sisters are not here tonight. And I said, if there's going to be mostly men, I need more women here. And there are Mimi, Bev, Julie, Judy, you know, Zoe, her husband, Bruce. Well, my brother. There's not too much to worry about today. You know, I want to welcome the newcomers because there's a lot of you here tonight. I want you to know that all the pain, whatever you have gone through, whatever you're going through, there's a string of events that's happening, and it's leading you all to the straight and narrow road. I always say there's only two roads, God's road and the scenic route, the one we choose. Seriously, you still end up in the same destination, you know? You could just get bored. It's more fun, right? Segue back. I dated a doctor at 20. My mom's like, you're going to marry this one, right? Went to MIT, nuclear engineering. And I'm like, no, mom. She's like, why not? And I'm like, because I'm going to be in a rocking chair, bored out of my gourd. I needed somebody who was more fun and drinking. But hope he's well today. My life has been so interesting, and I love all the alcoholics I've dated. I do. My sponsor till today says my picker's broken, but I don't think it's broken. You guys don't have broken pickers either. You know why? Because I believe we attract these people to teach us the lessons that we need to learn so we could better know who we are. And sometimes those people stay in our lives forever. Sometimes they don't. And if they don't, that just means you have a new teacher coming along. Seriously. And the next one may be another alcoholic, if you haven't learned it yet. And maybe they're not. But that's okay. Because, you know, like I said, you're going to end up at where you're supposed to be anyways. I know, like 38, what the hell do you know, right? Trust me. Seeing my mom married, I mean, I told her she could be a nun now because she hasn't recovered. She hasn't remarried. I said, it's not too late, mom. I said, look at that cute guy walking by. She's laughing, see? But it's never too late to live. I don't care how old you are. You know, and today I get to look at the mirror and like the person I see. I wrote something here that what happiness means for me today. And that is simply choosing and accepting what is going on in my life, being aware that I have a choice, but I always have to start where I'm at with what I got. That means if I went on a binge spinning for 2 days, that's okay. I get to call people and say I need help. We slip, we get up. You fall 3 times, get up 4 times. You know, we don't have to be victims of our past. At one point, I got tired of telling my story. I was tired of saying I was a daughter of an alcoholic. I saw my mom get beat up. It was like... So I asked God, the next time I get to share my story, it's only to help others. And then I found this program where you guys love hearing all those stories. So those dirty secrets become like this tool that we get to use, so that the newcomers get to come in and say, I'm not ashamed to tell you mine. So now I get to go, if you knew me, you'd know. Then I try to set that bar really high to have the most effed up life. So then you feel like, mine's not so bad. You know? Because I got nothing to lose. What you see is what you get today. And if you don't like me, that's okay. It's an opinion, not a fact. And that's the other thing I learned. What people think about me is none of my business. It's an opinion. Only I get to live in these shoes. Only I get to say I'm okay. And if I let other people's judgment rule my life, I'd probably never get out of bed. That's not an option today. I got 2 kids. My son, who's turning 9, said to me, because my ex-husband chose to tell him about the infidelity, he said, I wish you had told me when I was younger so I won't remember today. And he was crying and said, why are you so strong? How come you're not crying? And I said, because I don't have a choice. I have to be strong so I can take care of you. And he said, I want you to take care of me forever. And I said, I will. So as much as their lives are shaken today and their family life is not what I wished it could be, they still have a mom. They still have a dad. You know, we might not live in the same house, but the quality of time that is spent with them today is way better than it's been back then. You know, where my ex-husband had 40 pounds over him, I had 30 pounds over me, and, you know, a family night was movie with the kids downstairs, and he was watching his own movie upstairs. You know, and I tell people today, I had no idea what kind of life I was living until I was outside of it. You can't see. You know, today I freak out. When I'm freaking out, I know it's not real. It's like, crap. My energy's like this. Today I get to say, nothing real can harm me. Nothing real can harm you. All the stuff hurting us is either from our past or our hopes for our future. Today I get to say, I want to be like water, you know? Just go with the flow. I want to trust the process even if I can't see it. I get to trust that my mom being here is not an accident. That the ride home might be quiet. She'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? But she'll understand the peace that her daughter has today is from what she went through. That her mom, who died of tongue cancer because she never spoke up in her life after her own abuse, you know, she didn't die in vain. Because my mom's still alive and she could learn how to live differently. She could learn how to love herself. She can learn how to find love. I tell her she's still hot at 69. People ask me today how old I am and then they freak out and they're like, you must be 29. I'm like, thanks. But you know, we age so much faster when we worry. But when you become playful and you just learn how to be more like a kid, and just go back to your roots, you know? Like playing Play-Doh, you don't know what the hell is happening. All you're worried about is the recess and snack time. Life is easy. I don't have to worry about money today, because I know it's going to be provided for. So like I said, there's a lot of newcomers here. I want you to know that these rooms are sacred. Whatever you say here stays here, and all your dirty secrets are normal. You're normal. Take that from a woman who grew up where incest was in the family, alcohol and drugs, physical, mental, emotional abuse, where I thought if my grandfather walked into church, lightning would strike. You know, the God I grew up with was not kind. He made you feel guilty about stuff. I saw my dad kneel down after beating up my mom from the beginning of the church to the altar. He was forgiven for his sins so he could beat her up again 2 days later. That's not the God I have today. That's not the God my kids know. My kids know that the God I have today is somebody who understands them and that they're good enough. They don't have to do better. They just have to be themselves. You know? I want to say thank you for the old timers. Without your stories, your experience, strength, and hope, I wouldn't have the guts to unload the stuff I unloaded tonight. My mom wouldn't be sitting here hearing all this. I have no shame today in sharing with you. You know, this room is huge. To see all these men here, you know, for a girl who grew up with no positive male role models, you guys are awesome. I'd say I take my hats off to you, but, you know, I'm really glad to have you in this circle and having you in my journey. There's not enough of you, you know, and what you do on a daily basis, sharing it, my kids will learn from that. My little man will learn how to be a man from you. Because there's no grandparents, there's no dads around like that. And it doesn't start at that age, you know? It starts at any age. So I got 2 minutes. I'm so happy to be able to share this floor with Bruce. There's some things that I wrote down that I probably never read. So I'm going to read a few of those. Somebody pointed out to me that pain is not here to make us sad, but to help us remember, make us alert of those red flags we were in before. Times of great sorrow have the potential to be times of great transformation. I know that in my life. No problems, just opportunities. So, having lost my first love in a 12-year marriage, you know, I'd like to think that one day that's going to be an awesome friendship. My partnership with him as parents will still be there. Do I want to fall in love again? Yes. I want to be swept off my feet. But with my own life first. I want to be able to look at my life and go, damn, my life is great. And not have to have a man define that for me. I want a man who's going to be able to walk parallel with me, not to complete me, you know? Nobody can give me happiness. I have to choose that for myself. So I want to be able to come back and mingle with you guys because you're awesome. You know, our meeting at Woodland Hills is huge. This is like 3 times bigger. We're crazy. You guys are just as crazy. But I want to thank you, seriously, for having me tonight. And thank you for listening to my story. And I hope that some things I've said have helped you. And thank you for letting me be of service. Thank you.